effective strategy to mobilize true international effort to pressure.
Still in all, looks like the best effort we've seen thus far.
Hail to the chief.
You like that?
Why? Why?
I don't hear any thinking going on in there.
This is the Brian Suits Show.
A child is on a violent and seemingly unstoppable crime spree in Tukwila that's been going on for months.
How is that a headline? How is a crime spree by a 12-year-old that's been going on for months a headline? Well, it is in 2023 Seattle region. AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here. Okay, can I just say, and this may be a regionalism, but can I just say that all this hubbub about wildfire smoke on the East Coast, I mean, it's just an eye roll. It goes away.
It has gotten far more coverage in the mainstream media than any smoke in Seattle has over the past couple of years.
Because it's affecting Manhattan, so therefore it has to affect the entire country.
The population ratio is about 4 or 5 to 1 compared to us in the Pacific Northwest here.
But it's just like, okay, for a couple days, cancel outdoor activities, whatever, it'll go away.
Are you singing the Eagles' Get Over It in your head right now?
Yeah. What's that from?
Get over it.
Oh, you remember that
song?
Yeah, it's a horrible song, and they're a bad group. But you fascinate me about the chickens with helmets. Where did you see that? Oh, by the way, Brian Suits, your producer Greg, they're in the room. Here on Practice Friday, the 8th of June, 2023.
I think it's going to be a folksy anecdote Practice Friday, but I saw this picture of chickens and helmets on social media yesterday, and my first thought was, Brian Suits would appreciate this, but I didn't send you a link. I just teased it to you in our pre-show meeting.
Was it like football helmets or what?
I don't know why. And then I also saw
Did you
clip.
See who's on the cover of Madden 2023?
Russell Wilson.
Yeah. No. He did nothing. It's Josh Allen from the Bills.
That's my fantasy quarterback.
But, you know, the problem is that they didn't. One of the bars in his helmet doesn't join with the helmet. There's a Photoshop. There's a mistake on the box.
Ruh-roh.
So if you want to just get it and leave it in the wrapper, you know, that might be the way to go and sell it in 10 years.
It could be one of those things that it could be a collector's item in a few years with the, not a typo, but the Photoshop mistake.
I don't think it's that big, but it's just when I saw the picture, I'm like, wait, what's wrong there? And then I heard that on Turned Up the Sound on Fox and Friends, and that's why they were covering it, because it was missing somebody screwed up the cover art is the bottom line.
How long before EA blames AI for the cover of their
for the
video
FU?
Game?
Yeah, I don't know. Boy, if you were not named in Trump's overnight screed on Truth Social, raise your hand. Oh, no hands up. I mean, everyone, the federal prosecutors, Christie, everybody, and then he released an ad, a rabid wolf ad, because the Justice Department told his attorneys yesterday that he is likely to be indicted in Palm Beach. And the way this is working, by the way, as I've been saying, he's the president. He can declassify anything. The issue here is that when he was legally ordered to account for it due to the Presidential Records Act, he wasn't forthcoming with everything, and obstruction was going to wind up being a far more likely conviction on this than taking the weapons, because classified stuff, because the prosecutors in D.C. know that even with a blue federal jury, his lawyers can say, were you or were you not the president of the United States from noon, January 20th? 2017 to noon, January 20th of 2021, and his answer will be yes. And you, sir, is it your understanding that the president is the ultimate declassification authority? Yes, it is. That's going to be a tough conviction. But did you give everything over at the time you got the Presidential Records Act? Yeah. Well, then they can show that he didn't. So it's not going to stop or prevent him running for a president or anything. But I'll tweet out I'm still bothered by this, the face bar on Josh Allen's helmet. How can he be your fantasy quarterback if he doesn't have that bar going all the way across his face?
I'm telling you, what the higher-ups did at EA was said, look, we don't have the budget.
Or it's Madden 24. Sorry about that.
Sure, okay. It's still EA Sports, right?
Yeah.
They went, hey, AI, please generate the cover of our next video
Maybe.
Game. And that's what it came up with. They saved a lot of money, but they're missing something on the helmet.
Yeah. Oh, the AI decided they didn't need the full grid there. So anyway, you'll hear about that. Today, what did I do? I never get away from it. Well, anyway, Trump, it was a day of attacking. If Chris Christie is going to run against you, you release an animated GIF of Christie standing there, a bit of the video from his announcement, and then you animate a right hand holding up a platter of pork products. It's sausage, ham, and bacon.
As he surveys a big buffet table, yes.
Yeah.
That was Trump's retort to some of Christie's attacks against him yesterday.
And I'm not going to lie. You know, it's obvious. It's really, really obvious.
It's low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, and I did get Christie went in, sat down with Jake Tapper, and he broke the news, by the way. He did break the news. Here's breaking news from Chris Christie.
If we want to break news here today, I've struggled with my weight for about 20 years, like tens of millions of Americans.
The devil, you said.
Right, exactly.
Okay, I'm not a huge fan of Jake Tapper, but I do have to say he played his role pretty well. The devil, you say, sir.
I have what doctors call a little bit of a weight problem.
And anyway, let him complete his thought here. And because by the way, he is right. You know, millions and millions and millions of Americans, you know. And it's not like Trump isn't,
a beacon of health.
Yeah, there's many, many uncomplimentary angles that he's been photographed in while golfing.
If we want to break news here today, I've struggled with my weight for about 20 years, like tens of millions of Americans.
The devil, you said.
Right, exactly. So he's breaking news there. He's telling people something they don't know. In the end, for me, it's about how you perform as a person.
Whatever. Fatty. So who was the president who was a Taft? Who was as big as a bathtub? I think it was Taft.
Oh, yeah. I think you might be right.
Yeah. And he had to have like people help him in and out of the bathtub. This is before America invented the shower, which is America's gift to the world. You're welcome. Well, how about fallout for Lewis, the guy that represents downtown Seattle and Magnolia and the rest? Yes, he has it, by the way. The president of the Downtown Seattle Association who initially supported the guy. I didn't know that Lewis was a freshman city councilman. Have fun. Don't unpack too much.
Well, and he caved. This was not a profile.
What a jackass. I mean, it would have been 5-4. Yes, we should have a drug law. Yeah, you know who banned daytime camping yesterday? The last place on earth you would expect.
Oregon?
Portland. Oh, crap, because we're all packed for this weekend to go camp Pearls in the Pearl District. Portland City Council did vote yesterday to pass an ordinance prohibiting camping. So you can still walk down the street while smoking fentanyl. You just can't unroll a sleeping bag. It is weird the lines that they draw there, but and also here. And so, you know, I just wonder now that the state law that made it a misdemeanor, not a gross misdemeanor, but at least a misdemeanor, now that that's going to sunset on July 1st, if I were a Kent-Burian, all this, like I said yesterday, I would just tell people, you know, up in Seattle, they don't prosecute for this, but down here they do. So maybe it's a three-level chess thing by the Seattle City Council, a way to make Seattle an even bigger crap hole or something. But the Downtown Seattle Association, not real happy. Here's David Scholes on his city council endorsee, Andrew Lewis.
They've got no plan.
Downtown Seattle Association President John Scholes.
John.
He's claimed he's been
He's often confused with David.
Endorsed by you in the DSA. Does that endorsement still stand?
I said he was a thoughtful leader, a consistent leader. He's been responsive. He wasn't yesterday.
So that sounds like a no.
I didn't endorse him. You know, he's politicians will take some liberties with things that we say.
And he does have an opponent. And I mean, if I was in that district, I really would be flooding his phone today. But the guy didn't seem real thoughtful yesterday. Mayor Harrell can't do a heck of a lot on this.
I would have done it differently.
Well, there you go. Well, that's good now. So anyway, back to the chickens with helmets. They were football helmets? What kind of helmets were they?
They looked like mini football helmets.
Oh, with a little face mask, an actual face mask? Or
yes, with a little crossbar like they used to wear in the 80s if you were a field goal kicker.
Oh, it's like a Garo Yepremian single bar.
What yeah, just a single bar. Does not offer much protection. But.
Joe Theismann used to, remember that? Theismann used to, he was the last quarterback with that one bar there. And I mean.
You know what I also saw yesterday?
Chickens with helmets.
Werner Herzog on chickens.
Their flat brain, the enormity of their stupidity is just overwhelming. You have to do yourself a favor. When you're out in the countryside and you see chicken, try to look a chicken in the eye with great intensity. And the intensity of stupidity that is looking back at you is just amazing.
Why is he why is Werner Herzog commenting on the intelligence or lack thereof of chickens?
Because he's the best.
Because, by the way, I dispute what he has to say. Hang on a second. I love it when it's hot. Did you see my big tub of stevia that I brought?
You brought a tub or a vat?
A giant, one of those big, you got to scoop it up with a spoon thing. When does the show start? When are we on the air?
Hypnotize a chicken.
No, in our experience, because my daughter had a chicken named Tiger Lily that knew its name. She would go outside without saying a word.
No.
Squat down and the chicken would run to her like a little, you know, feathery raptor.
They work in pairs.
And it was a very smart chicken. This is also someplace in Colorado has finally embraced. There was a headless chicken that lived for 18 months in the 30s, and it was taken around on sideshows and the circus. And they finally have embraced it. And it was I forget the name of it. It's like whatever, Burris, Colorado, home of Ralph the Headless Chicken or something. Not quite Ralph the Diving Pig at Aquarina Springs in San Marcos, Texas. A far more amusing sideshow, by the way, because it really does dive. But so anyway, the let's not forget, let's not sleep on the LIV Golf controversy. The chairman, as of last night, still of the PGA, Jay Monahan, he's done a real, and it must be a lot easier with hundreds of millions in your bank account, but he has owned his own hypocrisy in this clip.
I understand the criticism I'm receiving around the hypocrisy and me being hypocritical, given my commentary and my actions over the last couple of years. And as we go forward, as we went forward and we reached a compromise, you know, that was seriously, I mean, that was obviously one of my great considerations. But
being a gigantic hypocrite for all time. And you know what's funny is I don't know much about the guy, but the Argentinian Lionel Messi has the most integrity on the face of the planet Earth because he's going to play in Miami. For the Miami, you know, whatever, annoying infections or whatever they are from the MLS.
The Miami kickball team.
For $150 million. He turned down probably around $1 billion to play in Saudi Arabia. And he said, look, I've been consistent in Argentinian. He said, I'm going to go to Miami because it's not hypocritical of me. And I wonder if he looked at, you know, because it was a media storm in Europe, too, about this. And he said, I don't want to deal with that. And I think apparently with Messi, a big part is, well, he's Argentinian, huge Argentinian community in Florida and Miami, huge Hispanic, culture there as well. Religion and the calendar and the whole thing. Plus he gets to speak Spanish. And so that versus go to Saudi Arabia. And what? Like, what, have a family there? What? No, you know, it's not a place for those who are not in the royal family. or those who like to, you know, watch the news that actually means something and all that. And so, and the guy, did you see what Rory McIlroy said? Now, he turned down $400 million from Liv.
Because we played a little bit of his response yesterday, yeah.
Because he has some of that annoying integrity as well. Well, he flat out said, because he has to be on board. And Jay Monahan, the PGA director, the hypocrite, called him and said, no, look, you know, this is happening. Called him the night before and said, this is happening. The rest of the PGA found out on Twitter, but McIlroy got a personal call and he said, we kind of need you on board. And he said, I hate Liv. I always will hate Liv, but this is the way it is. And he didn't say that on tape, I don't think, but he did.
Rory told reporters yesterday he now feels like a sacrificial lamb following that stunning announcement. By some estimates, Liv had offered him $400 million to join the tour, and he declined on moral grounds and became the face of the PGA Tour's resistance to Liv. McIlroy added that he still hates Liv.
That's awesome.
So, I mean, like, he'll be on the course with the I hate Liv, I hate this crap. Or, you know, if crap could fly, this place would be an airport or something. Mom had been Salman would be an airport. So there's that.
But then the head of the PGA came in and said, Rory, what about this argument?
Show me the money.
Show me the money. Now I don't know that this means that the average player on the tour suddenly makes more money. Those guys were being paid to play. You know, you get paid by winning on the PGA. So I don't know how they reconcile that. Except I get what Rory McIlroy's saying is you probably knew this a year ago. I'm your sacrificial lamb. I turned down $400 million and I work for these guys anyway. So I'd be PO'd.
Do you know we get the word integrity from the word integer, which means whole, like, or wholeness? It means, Brian, you're the same person in any circumstance, in any setting. It's the opposite of hypocrisy. Just a little free lesson in vocabulary.
You know, a great way to encourage crime is to not prosecute people for theft. So expect Lululemon to open up a store in downtown Seattle any time now, like Ben Bridge did. Though I sense they're going to spend a little more money on security and they're going to prosecute you they will press charges if you try to steal something. But the CEO of Lululemon, which they make yoga pants. So if your name is not Eric Garcetti, then it doesn't matter to men. But many of you women's, you wrap your precious package in the Lululemons. And this guy is one of the people who's ruining retail sports. I mean, retail sales.
You know, retail theft and shrink has been a growing topic. It's an area that we've invested in. We invest across three pillars, training and investing in labor, technology, as well as working with local and federal law enforcement. In this particular case, we have a zero tolerance policy that we train our educators on around engaging during a theft. Why? Because we put the safety of our team, of our guests, front and center.
Isn't that like the least safe thing you've seen on video is getting between the door and the shoplifter lately? I'm engaging you. You put those yoga pants down.
It's only merchandise. At the end, they're trained to step back, let the theft occur, know that there's technology. And there's-
I don't know if he has stockholders or not, but besides sounding like a guy that does wear yoga pants, can you imagine owning stock where that guy's the CEO in a company where he's the CEO, where you don't try to stop, you know, something is so prevalent. It's been called shrinkage, you know, for 20 years, but it's been spiking the last couple of years. And also, by the way, if you're saying, well, what does an addict want with yoga pants? Remember, all this stuff they steal, including your $3,000 bike from Capitol Hill, they sell immediately in its original packaging. And then it goes on, the Nextdoor app or Craigslist or whatever. And they shoplift it and they sell it for a pittance. They sell your $3,000 mountain bike for a $100 bill, for 520s, for 220s. Because all they care about is that cash and it's going to get them high. A Cannondale $3,000 mountain bike's not going to get them high now, is it? Unless you exchange it for 520s. All right, back in a second. Russian military expert says the Ukrainian counteroffensive is officially on. So June 6th is caught up to Russia and what's happened overnight. A progress report right after this. AM 770 KTTH. AM 770 KTTH, Brian Stutes here. Never heard of him. He's an English writer. He specializes in sort of undercover journalism. Ian Halperin is the guy's name. He went undercover as a crypto teenager millionaire to write Crypto Boy, Inside the Success, Sex, Dirty Money, Murder, and Wild World of the Blockchain. He sold a picture of two dogs sleeping on a dock for $20,000 as a non-fungible token, as an NFT. Just a picture. He just grabbed a picture off his hard drive.
Well, sounds like something you would have paid
Mike,
for.
Mike, I can't wait to get home. Are you kidding? Oh, that I would pay for? No.
You love the pooches.
Yeah, I'll sell an NFT. But what he found out is that many young millionaires making vast sums of money in crypto have been either murdered or faked their own deaths, estimating there have been hundreds of mysterious deaths linked to the industry. And where does the list of names, most of them are in foreign countries.
I did not know that.
Such as in the Europe. And I can't get my thumb moist enough to, there we go. He believes a number of crypto billionaires faked their own deaths after fearing for their lives. He said there are at least two dozen who disappeared or faked their deaths. A lot of this doesn't make sense because if it was one or two, okay, but it's dozens, and that's the scary thing. People seem to want to take these rich crypto kids out for some reason, meaning take them out, not take them out. And from Romania, to one of Canada's largest cryptocurrency exchanges, the death of Gerald Cotton. Now, that wasn't fake. That was for real. And a whole bunch. But that was the weirdest thing. I mean, you'd kind of think you'd hear more about that. But a lot of these guys, like the Sam Bankman-Fried, apparently, part of the reason he's in protective custody was because he's afeard that there's a lot of, because it's fake money. The very real Eastern European mob jumps in there and they go, oh, nice NFT. Shame if anything happened to it. Why don't you come over here to this fifth story window, by the way.
A child is on a violent and seemingly unstoppable crime spree.
So there, that's regarding any crypto teenager.
Oh, he has it.
But it's just bizarre. And it's a part of the entire ecosystem I'd never heard of before. Besides all the depravity with that Bankman-Fried guy and in his investment fund, that mousy little that woman, that 23-year-old woman who was with him. If you ever get deep inside that story, his girlfriend who was polyamorous or whatever the story was. I found her sweaty and rat-like, but I didn't say that at the time.
I'm still big-time ignorant about the world of crypto, and yeah. I'm not sure I want to learn more, frankly.
It's a crime spree, is what I'm afraid of, a crime spree amongst children.
A child is on a violent and seemingly unstoppable crime spree in Tukwila that's been going on for months.
Tukwila. I always say Tukwila. How come she says Tukwila?
I say like the Germans do, Tukwila.
Yeah, I say it because that's where all the Bosnians are, Tukwila. Anyway, it's an interesting story, and I will tweet it out if I remember to. Google is going hard on this. Other firms are trying free food to get people back in the office for 3 days a week. For over a year, Google has asked workers nicely to come in 3 days a week, luring them. Free food and other perks, but another company is getting serious. Yesterday, Google told workers that they must comply with the three-day requirement or their non-attendance could show up on their performance reviews. Isn't that... Don't you have contempt for that, almost?
I don't know. I guess there is such a thing as a free lunch.
I love this. The Google's... what you and I would call HR. Fiona Ciccone is their chief people officer. So if you don't show up 3 days a week, I'm going to ask you to... clean up, use that plastic container there, and then go upstairs to the people department and have your people's exit review. Or, I mean, what does it take to get fired at Google. If they're luring you back, if going hard is luring you back with food. By the way, so breaking in the last couple hours, the East Coast, and you'll have to really dig deep in the media to find this story, but the East Coast is covered in smoke and bad air from Canada. And as of an hour ago, it will be affecting air travel. The ripples will come westward because LaGuardia is on a ground stop. JFK apparently is on a ground stop, too. And the wind blows the smoke around, we're finding out, from all the morning TV. So it does affect us out here, and it will in a couple hours because your East Coast flight is going to be delayed because the airports are closing because of that. I mean, can I just say, I mean, I've seen it worse with my own eyes, and I don't remember airports closing at, you know, Burbank and LAX or SeaTac.
Did you see that picture of the George Washington Bridge, though? It looked dystopian or futuristic, almost like something you'd see in Blade Runner 2049. What was that film?
Oh, the sequel to Blade Runner? Yeah, which was, I think, an underappreciated movie. Terrific movie.
Here's a little collage of sound about the air quality in New York, starting with New York City Mayor Eric Adams.
This is an unpredictable series of events, and we cannot provide guidance more than a day in advance at this point.
I can't even go to work, so we never had nothing like this. Like, it is so scary.
Please, if you can, we encourage everybody to stay inside. The best protection is to avoid going outside.
We have already deployed over 600 U.S. firefighters and personnel, as well as equipment like water bombers to help Canada battle the fires.
I forgot what the fire was a couple of years ago where they invited South African firefighters, and they got there to the airport and they did a dance for the people who were, I think it was in Australia, and people were applauding the South African, firefighters. So they did like a impromptu Zulu dance or something. And then they got in the field and they were absolutely untrained.
Water bombers.
They just put them on planes and flew them to Australia. And figured, well, they'd train on the way or something. But they got there and they were a liability. But the Australians were so put out that they paid them anyway. They didn't want to make a stink about it. But they're like, you just put guys on a plane. You just advertise $300 Australian per day if you get on this plane. So they got on the plane. They got off. They got their baggage. They did a dance. They don't even wear the helmets right. So that happened. Because I heard that this morning that firefighters all the way from South Africa were so seat fillers. Okay. Well, China has bribed Cuba, not that they have to bribe them that much, but with a couple, like $10 or $20 billion. And if you've not been keeping up with your Cuba, they're broke. They're barely scraping along. And because their patrons imploded 30 years ago.
Good morning, China.
So China is going to put a spy base on Cuba. And I mean, I would highly recommend that you check your outrage on that. Just, you know, keep in mind that Taiwan is our spy base. And, you know, we're flying our spy bases at 30,000 feet up and down China. This is the one thing that I've always wanted to say to China is, look, before you get outraged about, before you buzz our planes, why don't you send a plane up and down the West Coast? Oh, wait, you can't. Okay, well, then you know, make an effort or whatever, but and then we'll see what you say if we complain about international law or whatever. Because it's, you know, keep in mind, American, Japanese, Korean electronic intelligence aircraft stay in international airspace, and very quietly. And I think it's part of the deal that we have with China. Anthony Blinken, Secretary of State, he is visiting China at the end of this month. He's in Saudi Arabia today, seeing if he can again get a foursome on Pebble Beach on Friday at 8 a.m. for the tea. But so anyway, they are resetting that trip. The one that was canceled after the baby dragon spy balloon of death was discovered over Montana. And so this is part of the deal with the Chinese, is they're going to stomp around and there's going to be footage of a destroyer cutting off a U.S. Navy destroyer in the ocean. And there's going to be a fighter plane zooming in front of another plane, because their people domestically need to see that, because this is a come down to reset that meeting and say, okay, this is as close to an apology as you're ever going to get from China. Except that, remember, when the day after we spotted the spy balloon, there was an apology. And that guy was very rapidly made a kidney donor. And China went to the, you know, the petulant sort of, yeah, prove it. It's not ours. We didn't do that mode, which is for domestic consumption. But so anyway, that's where we are with that. Volodymyr Zelensky, as sweaty and rat-like as he apparently is, according to Tucker Carlson, is visiting the Kherson region where the Russians blew the dam and it's flooded and it's therefore deniable for Ukrainian armor vehicles to move through it, so you don't have to worry about it. And an entirely Russian thing, if you just know what to think about. And so anyway, he's down there visiting. And Russian experts are saying, yeah, the counteroffensive is on, and it has been on for about 72 hours. Back in a second with a little bit of that. And you know what? I'm feeling in a Friday mood already because it's a practice Friday. So a quick checking of the texting at 800-465-8770. Hey, how about those Mariners, say the Padres? If only we could play them 80 more times. AM 770, KTTH.
Who are we talking
Blues
about?
Blues Traveler dude?
Good guess, but this is actually Vampire Weekend.
No, I think you'll have to read the record label a little when it stops spinning on there. Maybe you're right. You know what's evil is Instagram, owned by Facebook / Meta. Their algorithm, by the way, has my number. Absolutely has my number. And also pedophiles. At least, that's the thing. I buy recreation old-timey failed, you know, folded baseball team, like the Shenandoah Hungarian Rioters. I have that hoodie on the way.
And when you're scrolling the Discover tab, you get chickens with helmets too?
I wish. What I'm glad I don't get is the naked children feed. Instagram's algorithms connect and promote a vast network of pedophiles interested in underage sex content. A bombshell new report found. Meta owns it. They can't explain it. But anyway, the University of Massachusetts at Amherst and Stanford University and the Wall Street Journal did the study. Instagram connects pedophiles and guides them to content sellers via recommendations systems that excel at liking those who share niche interests. And so what, they were explaining it, but they lost me in the second sentence. But it was something about if you go private, if your feed is private, you'll still get recommended to certain people with niche interests, like nude children, and then you send a request, and something like that. All I know is if I'm sitting there on my scroll, I get clothes. I get baseball-themed, old-timey, vintage clothes. And, I mean, I've already bought everything out of Ebbets Field. I'm surprised they have any inventory. But there's other places that are aware that people like me exist. And so I'll see like a friend thing and then a hoodie and then another friend and then a former relative or something. And then, a Negro League baseball hats and stuff like that. And that's how and I sit there and I there have been times in the span of 10 minutes, I spent more money on old timey baseball recreation stuff than on the food I'm eating there, which, but like I say, you know, count your blessings. At least I'm not doom scrolling underage.
This does seem like something law enforcement could use
kinda
to lock the bad guys up. I don't know. Just a thought.
Yeah, well, except that I forget what it was. I'm going to say there was a whole bunch of convictions. But the FBI was trolling pedos with actual child porn. So by the letter of the law, they were literally breaking the law.
Oh, I see.
So
right.
Then what they had to do was they had to recruit 18-year-old models that could pass for 16 or 17, because you see, it's all about the intent. So if you think that it's a child, if you think it's a, if someone says, oh, I'm 15, why don't you teach me what's what? But they're actually 18. Then the FBI is not breaking the law. And anyway, that's what's really funny about anytime you hear something like Congress is going to look into this. Senator Chuck Grassley from Iowa. Really? He's going to understand the Instagram or this. But, you know, And keep in mind that a lot of the executives at these companies don't let their own kids on their own platforms. What was the documentary that came out last year that was pretty stunning and shocking? It was about TikTok, wasn't it?
I think you're talking about the Netflix documentary, The Social Dilemma.
Yeah.
Which is must-see TV.
Yeah, if you're a parent who loves your kids... see that documentary. If you don't love your kids, like Trump said, if let's say if you don't love your kids, you know, preload TikTok and check the box that it's you and the whole thing. So this is uncomfortable. BBC talked to 17-year-old Rutvi Hole, who applied, outstanding high school senior, you know, 4-point, all this off-campus stuff. Great family story. They came here from India with nothing, not with $20,000, but they came here with English and education. The guy applied to every single Ivy League university and 35 other universities, didn't get into one of them. Oh, no, everyone but Harvard, because he already knew. Apparently, the word's out of if you check the box, it says Asian Americans, then it's no longer a meritocracy.
We're in a DEI-tocracy.
Yeah, and so... lie on the application. That's the bottom line. They're, you know, lie on the application. Don't, or say decline to say, but they're going to see your name. And if they see an Indian sounding name or Asian name, they're going to put your application at the bottom. If because yes, they have quotas and they will defend that. But what a weird thing to have to deal with in 2023. That the discrimination against excellence, and this was an issue in California where, like, for the past 20 years, 50% of the incoming freshmen at Cal Berkeley, the hardest to get into of the UC system, have been from one demographic that is less than 5% of California. And it doesn't matter what the demographic is, just on the face of that number, you see what's wrong, and that they're trying to suppress that. And so they do when legislation came in to narrow that number and allow more inclusivity from other demographics that don't have nearly the acceptance to academically rigorous universities, the Asian politicians, Democratic and Republican, went crazy in California. Because for some reason, Cal Berkeley was embarrassed by that number, that somehow everyone should have an equal, you know, your acceptance in the freshman class should be equal to whatever your percentage of your demographic is, which is a ludicrous notion, because we all know that there are the Asian American household just puts a greater emphasis on academics more than my household. I mean, I'm lucky. My kid kind of does it themselves. But if I had a second kid or a third kid, you know, I would give them all the time they needed, but not in the way that the tiger mom or the Bengal tiger mom does. And it's crazy to look at a 17-year-old who's being penalized before he turns 18 for being excellent and in America. So affirmative action, why this teen says he's rejected by top U.S. colleges. It's a maddening story. And then, yeah, okay, because it's BBC, they go and they find a guy from South Carolina, an African-American kid who's outstanding academically, and they accepted him because it makes them look good. You know what they did at Harvard? They now differentiate, because if you're African, if you're like from like the Gambia and you're in this country, you're probably already excelling academically. And so they limited the number of people from actual Africa. They delineate between African-American and a guy from Africa who's here, you know, studying. So
And we could see soon the Supreme Court ruling this term that affirmative action is unconstitutional.
The Shenandoah Huns, everybody, from 1888 to 1895. The Biden administration is looking at a plan B for forgiving student loan debt. They're going to get it done one way or another. But more on that next hour. And also, the infection deaths at Virginia Mason continue. But then again, if you know, the something I want to, I'll try to find the latest number, but like 48,000 patients die of infections in hospitals per year. This is pre-COVID. So that's a thing. Anyway, it's a bacteria that has a vaccine. But we'll get to that and some more, and we'll work out the kinks on this Practice Friday, June 8th, 2023, and some Ukraine talk next hour, some stuff just breaking. That and more coming up, AM 770 KTTH.